Hi there, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
You're the world champion! You're the triple world champion, Sebastian Vettel!
Can I do it, Donna?
Bonus will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hi, I'm Mark Webber, and you're listening to the 2013 Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the Constructors. Thank you. Well done.
We're back. Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. It's round 11 of the 2013 Formula One World Championship. When you ask drivers and fans to name their favourite race circuit, Spa-Francorchamps is 9 times out of 10 top of the list, set in beautiful Ardennes forest and with a heady mix of long straights and demanding corners, dramatic climbs and falls, plus some notoriously fickle weather. Spa really does have it all. The first Belgian Grand Prix was run at Spa-Francorchamps in 1925, and it became part of the modern F1 Championship in 1950. This is the 57th F1 Belgian Grand Prix and the 45th run at Spa. Nowadays, the circuit has 19 turns and is 7.004 kilometres in length, a little less than the track's former life as an energy-sapping 14.9 kilometres. The modern race is 44 laps, a distance of 308 kilometres. On this edition of the podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their races here in Spa. We meet the newest member of the team, plus chat to Christian Horner and get David Coulthard to sing again. First, Spa is always touted as a Formula One driver favourite. Laura caught up with Sebastian Buemi to find out what makes it so special.
So Sebastian, you join us straight after the summer break. What did you get up to?
Just had a few days off, you know. I think that's quite important during the season, because the second part of the season is still very long with 9 races to go. So, you know, I feel fresh and ready to push again.
Did you go away or you stayed at home?
Stayed for a few days at home, and then I went to Italy for 10 days. Quite enjoyed it, you know, just to relax a little bit and train again every day, you know, when you wake up. So I really, really liked it, and now back in Spa, so yep. Fantastic circuit.
We saw your Instagram photos. Looked like you had a nice time in a chateau.
Yeah, you know, I quite enjoyed that, because it's quite important to find some time to relax and think about something else. So now I'm ready to push for the end of the season, and I'm going to have a big program, so
great.
We'll see.
And you join us here in Belgium this weekend for Spa. You've just been down in the fan area. Could you describe to our listeners what you were doing down there?
Yeah, I've been actually in the simulator of the game zone, which is just opposite the paddock, and there is a lot of fans, so that's quite good, you know, because you can compare yourself with them and they see what you can do in that simulator and they can try it just after you. So I think that's quite good, because it brings maybe the drivers a little bit closer to the fans.
What, in your opinion, makes Spa so special? Would it rank in your top 5 circuits of all time?
Yeah, I think that's my favourite circuit, to be honest. I think many things makes it special. First of all, the layout is fantastic. We've got some great corners like Eau Rouge. I think everyone's heard about it. Flat out corner up here. And apart from that, I think the weather makes it also quite special, because you never know what to expect. And the qualifying on Saturday was just great. We didn't know what was going to happen until the last second. So I think that just makes Spa, you know, a bit more special compared to the other circuits.
Can you give us an example of a technical challenge that a driver might face given rain, torrential rain, were to fall during the race?
Yeah, the thing you've got to keep in mind around here is that the circuit is 7 kilometers long. That's the longest circuit of the calendar, so it may be dry out at one end of the circuit and wet at the other end of the circuit. So it's quite important to be ready to look at the conditions. You've got to look through your visor up in the sky if you see some rain coming up. And apart from that, you know, you've got a lot of very high speed corners, and you've got to get this rhythm where you push hard. You've got to use the curbs a lot, but when it gets a bit wet, they are very, very slippery, so we've seen a lot of accidents in the past. And again, you know, if you want to be the best, you've got to have the best compromise between all those kind of things.
And what's next for you? Where do you go after here?
After here, I'll go back home for a day, and then I'll be off to Sao Paulo for the next race of the LMP1 program. I'm racing in the WEC Championship, so hopefully we'll have a good race. That's my first race after Le Mans 24 Hours this year.
Excellent. Well, good luck, and we'll speak to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
onto the race now, and Sebastian has notched his fifth win of the 2013 season with victory in Belgium. Seb's second win at Spa means he's now a full 46 points clear at the top of the Drivers' Championship, with 197 to second place Fernando Alonso's 151. Here he is after the race.
I think it surprised all of us. Great result. I think we knew probably going into the race pace compared to Mercedes, maybe we have a little bit on hand, but we didn't know where the other people were, especially Ferrari and Lotus looked very quick in dry conditions. It wasn't clear whether the rain was coming in the end, so we kept pushing, but surely with the gap we had, we were able to control the race from there, and last couple of laps weren't too stressful. Yeah, I was enjoying myself so much that I didn't think about, you know, the results, other people. Obviously, I knew that at some stage Fernando was behind, but only because they told me, and I saw it on the pit board. But you know, I would never ask during the race where other people are. It doesn't matter. In the end, you know, you try to achieve your maximum, and that's what we did today. Obviously, you don't have to be genius. I said it many times, but as long as you, are ahead of everybody else, you also score more points than them. So I guess today was good in that regard.
Mark started third on the grid, but after problems with his clutch at the start, he crossed the line in fifth position to take his season's championship points tally to 115, remaining fifth in the rankings. Here he is straight after the race.
We're on the back foot, probably a little bit going in. We tried our best, but in the end, losing a couple of rows is you're on the back foot. And then when you have to try and clear people on the track, obviously it's possible to do it if you are... We have the top gear to race in clean air. We don't have the gear to... we have the compromise to try and pass or not to pass, and that's where we were, and we were a bit worried at the start, and turned out to be not great. So in the end, when you're recovering, and then you obviously you'd murder your tyres trying to pass Nico, things like that, then it just snowballs and you're out of position, and then obviously the win would have been difficult, but we definitely know we could have got more out of today's result given the pace that we had. But you can't always show it when you're out of position and trying to regroup, then trying different strategies with prime in the middle, or just trying to, then you're just rolling the dice to try different things.
Alonso followed Seb over the line to finish second in Spa, followed over the line by Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg in P3 and P4, respectively. Now, Spa is a favourite track of David Coulthard, and Sebastian wanted to remind him what it felt like to be on the podium, and so gave him a taste of the champagne.
Thank you. Thank you very much, boys. I forgot what it tastes like to have champagne in the face. It's been such a long time. I've only rented this suit for the day, so it's not even a suit. I have to give this jacket back to someone else.
He loves it. Laura went and spoke with him properly about the track and hopefully got him to sing again after the race.
Okay, so David, we left you shoving your granny off a bus in Budapest. Did you manage to redeem yourself over the summer break?
I had quite a varied summer break, actually. I was in Austria for a few days. We were doing some filming with Mark and Sebastian Loeb and Heinz Kienigartner and Carlos Sainz. We were doing all sorts of crazy things in cars and motorbikes and go-karts for a TV show, which was fun. Then our running show car event in Assen. Always good to go and hang out with the freaky Dutch. They're very passionate about motorsport in general. Week with the family up in the mountains, and then off to Cuba for an event there, which they don't have a lot of motorsport in Cuba. Revolution didn't really support that, but they do have a classic car event for American vehicles from obviously before the revolution. So interesting to see that. Drink a little bit of rum, smoke a cigar. Don't do it at home, kids. It's not good for you. And then here we came to Spa, and what was not the most exciting on-track Grand Prix, but certainly a great reflection of the talent in Formula One. You know, three world champions up there on the podium.
Okay, brilliant. And would you rate Spa as one of your top circuits of all time?
Yeah, there's so much history here. The first Grand Prix was actually held in the 30s, and on an old circuit, and then the modern circuit that we know has been used, I think, since 84. It's a great track. It's got elevation change. It's got high average speed. Attacks the senses. You come over blind brows. You don't quite know where you are. All of that just gives you a real roller coaster ride. speed, and that's why the drivers enjoy it.
And can you take us on an audio lap of the circuit?
As you come out of the bus stop chicane, head across the start-finish line into Le Source, it's actually a braking uphill into the hairpin, very open hairpin, so you roll through the apex easily, charge down the hill towards Eau Rouge. It's the seventh gear in qualifying. Incredible loads as you go through the middle of the corner, and the car goes slightly light as you go over the top, and then exit Eau Rouge, speeds of up to 200 miles an hour as you take the run along to Le Coum, which is at the very top of the hill. So it's a gradual climb all the way up to turn 5, and then you start doing 6, 7 down into Rivage at 8, drop down through 9, and then you've got the charge down to Pouhon. So you not only have the incredible power of Formula 1 car, but you have a downhill section helping to accelerate the car down through the double left-hander at Pouhon. 10 and 11, 12, 13, very open chicane, 13 famous for where Schumacher ran wide in the Benetton and got disqualified for his plank being too thin way back in the early 90s, into 14, which is just before S2, and then you start to open out through 15 onto what was the old Grand Prix circuit and the run down through Blanchimont, and then attack the brakes at the open chicane as it is now for the bus stop, and then a short charge across the line. So tricky lap, high speed roller coaster, and a great deal of fun for the drivers.
What's next for you? Where do you go from here?
I'm charging to Liège Airport to jump on a plane to Saint-Tropez. I have a small function there tonight. Back home for a few days with the family, some work in Zurich, and then we'll be getting ready to head off to Monza. So I'll get a few bike rides done, a bit of story time with my son, and then obviously a little bit of preparation for the next Grand Prix.
Okay, brilliant. And our producer has promised me extra points if you can sing again for us. So can you give us a line from your favourite song?
Well, actually, Lee McKenzie, when we were interviewing Paul DeResta yesterday, said, she said, look up to the skies. Ah, I can't even remember the second line now. Okay. She said it, and it was actually the lines from the song, and she did it just kind of by accident. So,
try something else. Go Michael Jackson.
I can't sing.
Yeah, you've done it.
The only thing that would obviously back up the fact that I can sing is to say, I'm bad. yeah, or whatever he said. I don't know.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you.
Well, there's another one for the album right there. Well done, DC. It's becoming quite a tradition for many of the team members to run the track before each race. With Spa being so iconic, it attracted more runners than ever before. Laura caught up with some of our key team members to find out more.
Okay, so I'm joined by Tom, Olaf and Nigel, who've all run the circuit here in Spa this weekend. Could you start by telling us your time? So we'll start with you, Tom.
I did 2 laps back-to-back because I'm training for a half marathon, so the total time was 1 hour, 12 minutes, 50 seconds. So I kind of split it over 2 laps, so about 36 minutes a lap.
Okay, Olaf?
Mine was 31:36, 1 lap.
Okay, and Nigel?
1 lap, 46 minutes.
And could you also talk us through your strategies? So we'll start with you again, Tom.
Okay, mine was mainly about survival. So I'm trying to get through the first lap, and then making up Eau Rouge the second time is a bit of a struggle. So it's all about pacing myself and trying to take it easy on the first lap.
Okay, Olaf?
Just push like mad all the way around.
And Nigel?
Take advantage of my extra ballast and make the most of the downhill.
Do you all have a greater appreciation for the circuit now, having run it on foot when you see it on screen?
Yeah, I think you don't quite appreciate the undulations and change of gradient as you're going around the track. So, yeah, it's good. I think whenever you run the track, it's always you always get a better appreciation of what it's like out there. So,
Olaf?
Yeah, I've been running them a few years now, and, yeah, definitely much different when you run around them as opposed to seeing them on the screen.
As a newcomer to run that track, yeah, I'd appreciate it more. It's very impressive when you get to the top of Eau Rouge. There's actually about the same distance again up till you get to the top chicane, so I wasn't expecting that.
Nice surprise.
No.
And will you all be taking on the challenge in Monza again?
For sure.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Thank you.
We'll have to start a bit of a leaderboard for the next race. The team here at Infinity Red Bull Racing is constantly evolving. Laura went to meet one of the newest members working in the garage.
Okay, so I'm joined by a new member of the team. Could you start by introducing yourself and telling our listeners what it is that you do?
Hi, I'm Steve Forsey, garage technician for Red Bull Racing.
Okay, and Steve, you're not brand new to the team. You've done a few races with us now. What would you say has been your favourite so far and why?
I'd say Budapest, Hungary is my most favourite race I've done so far. The atmosphere, the weather, and we had a podium finish.
That's always good. Could you talk us through a typical day in the life of Steve when you're at the circuit on a race day?
We arrive at the circuit then we fill the cars up with fuel, put them on cool to circulate, get the cold fuel through the car. And once that's done, we then keep the garage clean and tidy, emptying bins, help the tyre man if they need help, any electrical faults, fix any if there is any.
And you're sometimes roped into helping other people in the garage, I imagine.
Yes, of course I am.
So you're the go-to man.
Go-to man. The helper.
And what aspect of joining the team has been the most surprising to you? Because you weren't in F1 before this, were you?
No, I wasn't. I was doing GT3 racing before. I should say the most surprising thing is the amount of equipment used and the technicality of the sport.
Okay, brilliant. Well, welcome on board, and I'm sure we'll speak again throughout the season.
Thanks very much, Laura.
Thank you.
All in all, a very successful weekend for the team here. Final word, as ever, goes to our leader, Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him after the race.
Okay, so Christian, your second win in Spa with Red Bull Racing. Talk us through that race.
Well, it was a fantastic race for Sebastian and the team because it all came down to the first lap, and he had an average start, but then managed to position himself well going through the first corner and knew that the first run through Eau Rouge up the hill was going to be critical, and he went for it. He got in the tow, managed to make the move stick, and ran the outside of Lewis, and then got his head down and managed to build up a great lead.
And then what happened with Mark?
Well, Mark's clutch wasn't fantastic in preparation on going to the grid. We did our best to tidy it up, and then he conceded a place to Rosberg off the start. And then, of course, once you're compromised in your positioning in the pack, he didn't have a clean run through Le Source, and Alonso managed to get a run on him down the hill and pass him into Eau Rouge. And thereafter, it was a matter of trying to find a way through and past the Mercedes and Ferrari ahead. Unfortunately, whenever you got close enough, you seemed to lose aero performance, and he just couldn't get quite close enough to make a move.
And then no rain today after all the predictions.
Yeah, after all the predictions and all the constant looking up at the skies and satellite and so on, it never arrived, so that was very welcome. I'm sure it's going to be here shortly, but you'd have won a lot of money if you'd have betted on there being no rain in the race today.
And I don't think it's a race you came here expecting to win, was it?
No, I mean, this race and Monza are arguably two of our weaker tracks, so we're delighted to have won here. It's really fantastic to come back after the summer break, start the second half of the campaign, you know, with a victory, and a dominant win is just the boost that everybody needs.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Infinity Red Bull Racing podcast. For all the latest team news, pictures, and to browse the shop, check out the website. That's redbullracing.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with all the coverage from the next race in Monza. Until then, take care.